Hello?
Yes, Bill.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
I've just had breakfast with Dubinsky, Petoskey, and Biemler. I think this minimum wage thing is in all right shape. I'd recommend, if it fitted in with your plans, that it would be a good idea if Petoskey and Dubinsky were to come up there on Friday or Saturday of this week, and they'd like to, if you have time, sit down and talk with you about it. But they will not press you on anything outside the range that we've been talking about, namely the...
If I could avoid it, Bill, I'd sure love to. If there's any way in the world we could decently do it.
Right.
I don't know what the solution is, and I'm kind of like a poor Negro boy that's been indicted for rape. I'm in the hands of my lawyer, and you have to figure out the explanation, the excuse. I've got so many deep problems that I just can't do anything, and I think Petoskey's resolution, I think it would be interpreted that all you got to do for Johnson to send for you, and that's what some senators are saying now, is to attack him and threaten him and so forth. And that's what the Amalgamated did with the Vietnam thing, and it's just as hot as a firecracker. The second thing is, what few friends we've got felt that Dubinsky has turned down our Democrat, put a Republican who is against us in Vietnam, although Dubinsky used to be very good on it. I'm sure he's changed now, but he supported the Republican that was against us in Vietnam and helped elect him, made the difference. Not just Lindsey, but the Republican congressman that comes here to vote against my program. And I'm afraid that anybody that's loyal to me will say, well, all you got to do is to get invited and sit down and work these things out is to leave the impression that you're against him and you're going to denounce him and you're going to wage a war on him, and then he really knuckles under. Now, you try to put that in your judicious
I can take care of it.
Approach and see how to handle it, and I have had this suggestion a dozen times, only yesterday from your predecessor. 3 hours I spent with him, and most of it was how I didn't handle my labor matters correctly, and a good deal of it, and some of it was that I ought to call Dubinsky, and I ought to call Rose, and I ought to have them in, and then I ought to have the 20 labor people in, and he listed them, Reuther, and the group that's struggling for Meany's mantle, but have Meany, but have these others, and sit down and talk to them. I told him I would do it after I had a chance to talk to you. We could have those at that meeting, so it wouldn't, and I wouldn't mind walking down the hall with them and letting them say what they wanted to me as a part of the general meeting. If for some reason or other they could call on you, or you could have a meeting, a luncheon for them in honor of Petoskey or in honor of somebody that's got an anniversary or award, and then you could tell them when you ask them that you want to have a little honor, just 20 of them, and kind of close friends of Petoskey's or Meany's or whoever is a good fella, Phil Randolph or somebody, and then say, now, fellas, after you get through, I'm going over, the president's heard about it, he wants you all to come by and see him, and he doesn't want to lobby with you, but he'd be glad to have you lobby with him on anything you want to. And we'll just go by off the record and not stir up everybody in the country.
Yeah.
That might be the way to approach it. Then when they walk out the room, the cabinet room, Dubinsky and whoever you wanted to might stay back for a photograph or get a picture or want to get a pen that I use, sign in something with. And then they might say what they wanted to say to me that way. I am fearful that I'm becoming a conservative, and I think my Secretary of Labor ought to be the second one to know it. I told the Ambassador of the United Nations that yesterday, But I think that the liberals on Vietnam are going to defeat themselves. I don't think they'll touch Dennis or Russell or Irwin or any of those people. I think they'll beat themselves in the House and Senate. I think labor is helping to beat them by its statements every day, and it's rejecting us. Every headline up here this morning is that we have been rebuked, and that U.S. labor awards fails to win support for LBJ's program. I didn't know we had a program, and I didn't know we sought any support. I told you, just listen to them. They've got words hewed to the line. Meany says it smacks of trickery. That's the big headline, three columns across the front page. George Meany said yesterday, White House line, smack of trickery. And he told Wirtz that organized labor won't accept these one-sided controls. Wirtz said Johnson will continue and so forth. Meany criticized Johnson, so forth. And I say not changing the arithmetic smacks of trickery. Meany said if Johnson declared an emergency and controlled so on and so forth.
The headlines don't hurt, do they?
Labor says wage guys is not fair. The AFL Council today told Wirtz that the administration's attempt to set nationwide costs was impractical, unworkable, and the council rejected Johnson's guidelines. And the labor secretary was told directly what labor circles had discussed so much among themselves, or that it was not fair to ask labor to accept these guidelines. Although he is well aware of the antagonism that has been growing in labor circles toward the Johnson administration generally, and his own Department of Labor particularly, work was not hesitant to face the labor leaders. He described the meeting as with the group as par, while Meany said it was amicable. The Times says labor is unmoved by Wirtz and a plea of confrontation on pay. Johnson administration organized labor confronted each other today. They came away with their conflicting views firmly intact. These problems have led union leaders to voice great dissatisfaction with President Johnson. The rank and file expressed their discontent by refusing to work for Democrats in the 66 election, and union leaders talked badly of breaking labor's alliance with the Democratic Party.
Well, those were about the, that was about the basis you and I talked on, wasn't it? No kowtowing, no,
That's right, but I didn't think we were appealing to them to do anything for us.
There was no appeal.
I thought we were just listening to what they wanted to tell us, and I didn't, I didn't think that they would be attacking us.
Well, the stories, I can give you quite a bit, and I'm preparing quite a memorandum on them. The stories on the attack are just grossly exaggerated. The feeling down there, a lot of other forces at work. One I should mention to you particularly is that I'm seeing a great deal of Kennedy tracks around here. Just a great deal.
Yes, I think that's true.
And that's coming in a very prominent place. As far as the attack is concerned, their attack here has been...
Well, now, what evidence do you have of that? What specific, what individual talking to whom do you have?
I told you I had breakfast with Potosky, Dubinsky, and B. Miller, and they volunteered the information. As for who, with whom the conversations are being held, I don't know. I can find out a little more about that. But I've had that same report from...
Well, now, what do they volunteer? What do they say?
That there is a great deal being made of he's picking up the 14B thing.
Yeah.
That in very specific terms is saying that there was a good deal less done on that than could have been done. Most of it centered, in fact, that's the particular issue in which it centered, along with the foreign, with the international business. But as far as labor issues go, that's the one. Now, on the guidelines, apparently the...
Now, Potowski and Dubinsky and B. Miller say that friends of the senator are saying that we didn't do as much as we ought to on 14B.
That is correct. That is correct.
But they don't point out the print.
No, I can get a little more about it. Well, I think it may be more direct than Trent. I think he's saying it himself.
Well, is he down there?
No. But the reports would be from people who have talked to him.
Uh-huh.
And I can try to piece that together a little more.
I wish you would, because I'm going to have a session, I think, a pretty direct one with Meany. I don't know whether Meany is representative of him, or I don't know whether he can lead him.
Well,
but I have always had a great respect for Meany's fairness with me, and I have sure leaned over backwards to resolve everything, as you know, that I could in his court. I didn't feel 14B. I voted for 14B. And I told him that, and I told him I didn't feel like it ought to be repealed, and I wasn't going to advocate it. But my viewpoint had prevailed for a good many years, and it hadn't solved it. And I was willing to resolve the doubt in his, and I wouldn't agree to put it in my message. But I did put it in my message, and did send for it, although I didn't agree to. But I went all the way. Then I got 61 senators in, and I called people like Mike Monroney, made him come to my office, sit down, and talk to him. So I played that clean and hard. I talked to Mike Mansfield at least a half a dozen times, and each time I did, I called George Meany and told him what I'd said and what he had said.
Mr. President, three-quarters of these people down here are completely exasperated with Meany and with the labor people on 14B at this point. They are saying to me, one after the other, and I give you quite an impressive list of names, specifics on this. All of this trouble is simply a reaction to the fact that their faces are so red, that their faces, not ours, that their faces are so red on 14B. Now this is, I'm talking about three-quarters of the men on the Executive Council of the AFL-CIO. They think that a great mistake has been made by themselves in spending all their capital on 14B. Now, Andy B. Miller and George Meany are up to their ears in this, and they're trying to get out of it as best they can. But most of these people down here don't share that feeling about 14B at all. Just not at all.
Well, I don't guess you get seen, but if you do, you'll tell Meany. And I've heard all I want to hear about my lack of on 14B, because I'm gonna say someday what I did on 14B and what I tried to get them to do, and who's to blame, because we're going to blame each other. I'm going to get in on some of this blaming and recoup a little bit of what I've lost.
I didn't even mention 14B at my session with him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't, it was mentioned in passing by Paul Hall or somebody of that sort, but they didn't even raise the item on the agenda.
Do we have anything that we need to know that came out of the meeting that I don't see?
Yes, that in general the attack, the meeting was about an hour and a half, and if it was an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes of it were an attack on Gardner Ackley and the guidepost.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else was pressed at all strongly. The matter of minimum wage came up. I said, I'm simply not here to talk about the figures on the minimum wage. That was raised by an outsider. It was guidepost just from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the international situation and quite at length about that.
Are they divided on that?
They are some, not strongly,
mm-hmm.
but unquestionably there is some division on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that their resolutions will come out 100% for it. There's a problem on the maritime thing, which I'm working today with Meany and Kirkland on, and I don't know how that's going to come out. There may be some further action out of the maritime people this afternoon, but they're... they are not talking 14B to me. They are not talking it in general here, except as the newspaper men are pressing them on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, what do we do? Anything with Gardner? Do we?
I don't think a thing. I don't know. At least, some of us had some questions whether that 3.2 should have been put out in that form this year. But it seems to me we just take the situation where it is. I think it was a mistake to, as I've and a memorandum in there saying that I would just have ducked the arithmetic this year, but I would take it from where it is, and I don't see any justification for budging on it. I think we have two specific problems. One is on the minimum wage, and the other on the unemployment insurance. Some problems internally there on the unemployment insurance.